Heavenly Father. Lord, we love you today. We're so grateful for your mercy. We're so grateful for the blood that was shed, the good news of the gospel. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. Lord, we realize this walk is an individual walk, Lord. And we thank you for each and every experience that you've given to us, Lord. It's beyond our knowledge and our thinking, Lord, how the great God of eternity can come down and mingle with us mortal beings, Lord. The great holy God, condescending, be with us, Lord, today. Your word promises that you be here, Father. Where two or three were gathered together in your name, there you'd be in the midst of them. Lord, walk the aisles today. Touch us, Lord, each and every one of us. Draw us closer to yourself, Lord. Forgive us where we failed you, Lord, where we've sinned against you, Lord. Help us, O God, today. Bless your people. May you bless the reading of your word. I commit it all into your hands now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. While we're standing, let's turn to Psalms 51. Psalm 51. And I'm going to start with verse 1. My Bible says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. You may be seated. God bless you. Praise the Lord. Amen. It's good to be here today and Amen. To worship the Lord and to seek God and to look into His Word. Tim made an announcement about Brother Junior having meetings. Apparently, he's been having these get-togethers for years. I wasn't always aware of that. This is the first year they're having a meeting, though. I think they usually just go away, and they like that atmosphere in the Lancaster. What I wanted to mention was that Thursday night is the sight and sound thing, and we had scheduled communion Thursday, so we're going to have communion on Wednesday. Our calendars are showing April 9th, I think, for communion, but we'll just have communion on Wednesday night, and then we can go out to the Sight and Sound. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm sure the story of Esther will be wonderfully displayed, and the truth of it. And one of the things I love about the book of Esther is God's perfect timing. You know, God shows He's in control. Even when it looks really bad for God's people, He comes right at the perfect time. And I think that's the day we're living in now. I think, you know, if things can look very bad, but God, I'm convinced God will have perfect timing in the end. And He'll take His bride from this earth. So that is the weekend of Easter. So the Friday is Good Friday, and many people have off, so that's probably why they do it. And again, Brother Junior, he is very adamant. He wants to get back to his home church. So for Sunday, so it ends like Saturday afternoon. It's really a time of fellowship. I think it would really be good if everybody could go. I will tell you, the hotel that he reserved, there's not a lot of rooms there, so there might be like 25 rooms, and I know that there's going to be many more people than that want to go. So if you book early, you're better off, and you have to call him to make a reservation. So I asked him, why don't you just have people, you know, you can text him his phone number too. You don't have to actually physically call him, but you can text him, say, hey, I want in, I need this room, specify the type of room, and he'll take care of that. He said he does that because when they run out of rooms, he wants to help people get another place and things like that. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So I'm looking forward to that. We certainly do love Brother Junior, and he told me about an experience he had where he was called by God to minister to the youth specifically, where he told me about an experience he had where he was praying to God, and an angel came to him, and he saw the feet of the angel, and that's when he was commissioned to minister to youth. And boy, if there's any ministry that has really been a blessing to the young people, actually, his ministry is a blessing to me. So, but certainly a real servant of God. So, we really love Brother Junior. He's had his physical challenges, and I know we just keep praying for him. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So, I would encourage you to go. We're still praying about a Bible museum trip. I talked to Mike Walls, and he's willing to have a joint service like on Sunday. So if we do the Bible Museum, we would cancel the service here and go in for the whole weekend. The dates are not firmed yet, so that's the only thing holding that up. So I was talking to Tim earlier about the Bible Museum. I've been there a few times. You can't see the whole thing in one day. There's just so much to see, but it's worth going and exploring. So we look forward to that. Amen.
Amen.
You love the Lord?
Amen.
So something's been on my heart, and I just wanted to speak about, David said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation.
Amen.
You know, we know the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Amen.
The joy of the Lord is our strength. So if you lose that joy, you lose strength.
Amen.
And we're in a battle, and we need all the strength we can get. And here's a David who's a man after God's own heart, according to the scriptures, and yet he sinned against God. He did something that was horrible. And, you know, just because someone's a child of God doesn't mean they're always right. It doesn't mean they always do the right thing. And so, but God was able to bring him back to his right mind. And I love that. David acknowledged his sin, he repented, and just as a side note, how did God bring David back? God sent a prophet to David. You know, God loves to use prophets.
Amen.
And the prophet Nathan went to David, and his sin was exposed. And some people don't understand today the full value of listening to the sermons of Brother Branham. And they think, well, that's in the past, you know, we don't need that. But God uses prophets not just so we can know more, not just so we can get revelation. That's all in the Word. We can understand the time we're living in. But God uses prophets to expose sin.
Amen.
See, and we need that in our lives.
Amen.
We need God to minister to us. And that ministry of a prophet is a special ministry that really hones down where we live. And if you listen to Brother Branham, if you're not living right, it's just to skin your hide off.
Amen.
And so thank God for that.
Amen.
And so sometimes, like David, we can live in periods of delusion. David, after he took Bathsheba and then planned Uriah's murder and tried to cover it up, he was walking in a delusion. See, he had given himself over to sin, but he didn't even realize where he was, thinking he could cover up sin. And that's a horrible condition to be, but you can walk in periods of delusion, not realizing how you look to God. And of course, you know, I thank God we have access to a vindicated prophet. Because what it does, it pierces through a lot of spiritual junk that people have on them, and it gets to your soul. And the soul that was really part of God, if ever you're part of God, you were always part of God. That part of you that's part of God can be liberated from all your flesh and all the spirits of this world by a clear-cut word from God. So we're thankful for that. I'm glad he pulled no punches. I'm glad it was very clear. So David obviously got lifted up. When I look at this, I feel that somehow David, who was a poor shepherd boy and loved God, worshiped God, and then God exalted him and made him a great king.
Amen.
And so he elevated him. And many times when people get lifted up, that's when there's a problem.
Amen.
And so we have to be careful of that. Always careful that you don't get lifted up in yourself,
Amen.
In your opinion of yourself. And so to me, it's obviously that David, he got elevated in himself and he yielded to lust. He yielded to sin and committed adultery and murder. Guilty. Thought he could get away with it, but obviously he was exposed.
Amen.
All sin will be exposed.
Amen.
We should never allow a delusional thought to come in. Well, I'm wrong, but you know, nobody saw that. God sees everything.
Amen.
He knows our every thought. He knows everything we've done.
Yeah, that's right.
We should never believe we can cover sin. Some scriptures just to back that up. 1 Timothy says, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men's sins follow after.
Amen.
See, so how is the sin open before? We expose ourselves to God. We're exposed before God.
Amen.
We don't want to wait until after to be exposed. We want to expose ourselves now. So that should be the mindset of every Christian, that when you get in your right mind, when you get out of your delusion, you confess your sins to God.
Amen.
1 Corinthians 11, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged.
Amen.
But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. See, this world's facing judgment without mercy. But we have access through the gospel of Jesus Christ, faith in what he did, we have access to mercy. So we judge ourselves now so we can have mercy. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Psalm 32:5. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. See, David, a man after God's own heart, he had some special qualities. He sinned, yes, which all men sin and come short of the glory of God. He sinned, but then he acknowledged his sin. He confessed his sin.
Amen.
And one of the great qualities of David,
Amen.
Is he accepted God's forgiveness.
Amen.
That's a quality that you need to have. You need to accept the pardon. Because God doesn't want you just to acknowledge sin and wallow in sin and woe is me. He wants you to get out of that.
Amen.
He wants you to be delivered from that.
Amen.
1 John 1, chapter 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. So first of all, if you're sitting there saying, I don't have any sin, you've deceived yourself. And the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Amen.
You have to believe that.
Amen.
If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. That's pretty strong.
Amen.
See, we are sinners.
Amen.
We live in a flesh body that is prone, that is trying to drag you that way. See?
Amen.
So, we're all subject to failure, every one of us.
Amen.
We are all subject to the flesh man until we get out of here. And if we try to justify sin and cover sin, we're going to be miserable. If you're part of God, you're going to be miserable if you try to justify sin.
That's right.
See? So, and then you'll become a servant of sin. Now, there's a chapter in Romans that Brother Momlish used to quote all the time. Romans 6, Romans 6, Romans 6. I want to read this because it's so weighty. And even though we read it today, feel free to go home and read it for homework. Romans 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid.
Amen.
How shall we live... How shall we that are dead to sin live longer therein? Live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection.
Amen.
Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him.
Amen.
Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise reckon ye yourselves also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God, as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you.
Amen.
Can you say praise the Lord?
Amen. Amen.
Sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto holiness. Let me stop there for a moment. Why is he even talking about this? Because this is what every man has to deal with.
Amen.
Who do we yield to?
Amen.
Do we yield to the flesh man? Or do we yield to God?
Amen.
This is the battle inside our flesh.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Verse 20. For when ye were servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin, ye become servants to God. Ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
So praise, that's a wonderful chapter. When you read Romans chapter 5, 6, 7, we'll read the whole book of Romans, but when you read in there, it's dealing with the sin question, and it leads us to what? There is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ, who don't walk after the flesh, but we walk after the Spirit.
Amen.
See, that's what God wants us to do, is to yield to the Spirit of God. So David clearly had fallen into sin, and what happened to him happens to all of us. He lost his joy. See, you know, there's a big difference between pleasure, what pleasure brings, and what joy brings.
Amen.
See, and when you look at that, pleasure feeds your flesh, and for a small moment of time you can be happy. But it's a small moment, it's a fading thing, see? But it quickly fades out. But joy in the Lord comes from yielding to God.
Amen.
And that joy is eternal. That joy gives you so much more than what the pleasures of sin will give in this life. Just look at any drug addict or any alcoholic or things like that. You know, for a moment, they get their fix and they feel the pleasure. They feel happy, but then it quickly fades and they need another fix. And an alcoholic, he drinks and he gets drunk and he feels good, and but then he has to come down off that. And look at the cost.
Mm-hmm.
See, this is what the devil never presents when he presents a temptation. He never presents the cost that you will pay.
Mm-hmm.
See, but the drug addict, look what he's paying. He loses everything. The alcoholic loses everything. Everything that they hold dear becomes lost. And Christians, when we yield to the flesh, we're going the wrong way.
Amen.
The price that we pay, see, he paid it all at Calvary, but if you go down that path, it's going to cost you something.
Amen.
To come back to God. Help us, Lord.
Amen.
Help us to have our eyes open so we can make a right choice. We can choose life, not choose death. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
The cost of the pleasures of the lust of the flesh outweigh the gain.
Amen.
See, it outweighs the gain. Forgive me. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 2. Verse 15, I'll read a couple of verses. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Now, when we always talk about the things of the world, we're always talking about like the entertainments. You know, we always refer to, you know, all the modern things that people can do in the world. But if you look at the scripture, the things of the world are those things in your flesh.
Amen.
It's something inside of you that you yield to that's not right. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. So all those things that we call the world, they spring out of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. You know, look at Hollywood and all the vanity and all the so-called glory of Hollywood. It's all vain. It's all lust. It's all pride. It's wickedness.
Amen.
And the world looks up to that and they love that. But when you're a Christian, you realize that's all nonsense.
Yes.
See, that's why it bothers me sometimes when Christians admire Hollywood stars. I'm like, what? What is that about that? You want to get an autograph of someone who's delusional and leading people to hell? I don't want the autograph. You can have the autograph. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Why would we admire the world popular opinion?
Amen, brother.
The world is going the wrong way.
That's right.
What we admire is a Holy Ghost-filled Christian.
Amen.
We admire what the Holy Ghost does.
Amen.
We admire a holiness life.
Amen.
We admire humility and weakness and the love of God.
Amen.
Not the pride and things of this world and the riches of this world. That has nothing to do with God.
Amen.
I don't admire that at all. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, Israel lusted after evil things. And it only brought them disaster. Disaster after disaster after disaster. They turn away from God towards evil things. And the Bible says we're to look back at that as an example and see what happened to them. Every time they chose evil over God, it didn't work out very well, did it? Praise the Lord. But when we do the will of God, when we do the will of God, the joy of the Lord is there.
Amen. Amen.
Something greater than this life.
Amen.
See, now God can deliver us. God can restore the joy. And if you've never had that joy, He can give you that joy.
Amen.
That's His will, that His joy would be in us and remain in us.
Amen.
That's what He wants.
Hallelujah.
But we need to acknowledge our sin. We need to confess our sin. We need to look to Calvary.
Amen.
And we need to believe He paid it all.
Amen.
He paid it all. Jesus came to save sinners.
Amen.
So, think about it. Jesus doesn't want to leave you in sin.
Mm.
He didn't come to save you from sin and then leave you in sin. He came to deliver us from sin.
Amen.
The bondage of sin.
Amen.
Let's look at Psalm chapter 5. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. He has no pleasure in wickedness.
Amen.
He doesn't want His children in wickedness. Amen?
Amen.
That's like a no-brainer, right?
Amen.
Proverbs 21. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. See, if we love the pleasures of this world, it's going to destroy us. Now, Ezekiel was a prophet of God, and he said some things I think that are wonderful, talking about the way God looks at things. Ezekiel 18:23. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die? You know, some Christians seem to get pleasure out of the wicked dying, but not our God.
Amen.
Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? There's a theme here. Ezekiel 18:32. For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live ye.
Amen.
Amen.
Ezekiel 33:11. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die, O house of Israel? See, God does not want us to remain in sin. God doesn't want us to continue in sin. But we're in the grace of God. Yes, shall we sin so grace can abound? Grace leads us out of sin.
Amen.
Grace takes us away from sin, away from wickedness, and leads us to righteousness.
Amen.
And holiness.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Turn away from sin and turn to God.
Amen.
You know, it sounds very simple, but look at our lives. What do we do? What do we choose? And we need to believe, as we read before, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin.
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Amen.
If you confess your sin, He's faithful to forgive you of your sin. Unbelief will hinder you from doing that. Unbelief will cause you to say, well, God hates me. I'm no good. I'm just a sinner. See, that's just the devil piling on. See, if you see that you're caught in sin, if you see that you're bound in sin, what you need to do is confess your sin.
Amen.
God, I don't want to be bound by sin. I want you to save me, God.
Amen.
I want you to deliver me. I believe you can deliver me. I believe as I confess my sin that you're faithful to forgive me of my sin.
Amen.
See, that brings joy. That brings joy when you really take God at His word. Psalm 147, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear Him. It's good to fear God.
Amen.
In those that hope in His mercy. The Lord take pleasure in those that fear Him, in those that hope in His mercy. See, hope and trust in His mercy. That's where we rest. That's our trust. Not in our works, not in something we've done, not in anything that we've accomplished, but we will hope and trust in the mercy of God.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord. Psalm 149:4. For the Lord taketh pleasure in His people. He will beautify the meek with salvation. See, we approach Him humbly. We approach Him in meekness.
Amen.
He will beautify the meek with salvation.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Amen.
Oh my, don't you want to serve the Lord?
Amen.
1 Timothy 1:15, for this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He came to save sinners.
Amen.
Some people get it mixed around. They think God's only here for righteous people. He can't help people that are self-righteous. We're not to be self-righteous. We're not to have self-holiness. He is our righteousness. He is our holiness.
Amen.
See, we're trusting in Him. And as it's true, as we seek Him, as we're drawn to Him, as we get closer to Him, His righteousness will live through us. His holiness will live through us. But it's not ours. It's Christ in us, living through us. Amen. Isaiah 61. This is such a beautiful chapter. I want to read a few verses.
Amen.
Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. Do you think He doesn't see the broken heart? He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn.
Amen.
To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them the beauty for ashes. See, he trades with you beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning. The oil of joy for mourning. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You know, we live in a world today, the spirit of heaviness is on people.
Amen.
He wants to take the spirit of heaviness off of you and put the spirit of joy on you.
Hallelujah.
He wants to give you His joy. You know, I don't know about you, but I don't want to walk around in heaviness.
Amen.
I don't want to walk around in condemnation. I want to walk around in the joy of the Lord.
Amen.
The joy of the Lord is our strength.
Amen.
Remember George Mueller? Be satisfied in God. Be happy in God. Get your joy from God, and then you can live for God.
Hallelujah.
But you're walking around in heaviness and guilty and filled with sin and bound by sin. You're not going to reflect Christ to the world. Help us, Lord.
Amen.
That they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. Verse 4, and they shall build up the old wastes. They shall build the old wastes. They shall rise up the former desolations. They shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. You know, if something's been destroyed, God can repair it.
Amen.
He could take the old waste places and make them new. That's a wonderful thing about God.
Amen, amen.
You know, we can look at our life and say, it's just a mess, it's destroyed, but God can change all that.
Amen.
God can change all that. We need to trust that.
Amen.
And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the alien shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers, but ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. See, and we're all to be that, right?
Amen.
We're all to be a ministry to God. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. For your shame ye shall have double, for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land shall they possess the double. Everlasting joy shall be unto them.
Amen.
Lord, give me that everlasting joy.
Amen.
Restore to me the joy of my salvation.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
Do we want deliverance?
Amen.
Do we want God to restore the joy of our salvation?
Amen.
Do we want Him?
Amen.
Then we need to turn to Him.
Amen.
You know, turn is a wonderful, it's an action word. Turn.
Amen.
See, it's not enough to see and acknowledge. We need to see, acknowledge, and turn.
Amen.
You need to turn. Turning means you're turning away from something. You're turning towards something else.
Amen.
Turn. See, I believe a Christian gets joy in their heart when they turn away from the world and they turn toward God.
Amen.
That gives you joy right there because you know God sees right then and there.
Amen.
You've made that decision in your heart. You've turned toward God.
Amen.
We've got to turn. We've got to take action. Take this step. Don't stay where you are. Don't stay in stim. Remember, footsteps means possession.
Amen.
Take a step towards God.
Amen.
It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter if the devil's had you bound. Take a step. Turn, repent, confess your sin. Take a step towards God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
That brings joy.
Amen.
Footsteps means possession.
Amen.
God will take someone who's a slave to sin and make a warrior of God.
Amen.
Israel was a nation of slaves. Is that right?
Amen.
A nation of slaves. Year after year after year after year after year. It looked like it would never end. But one day, it ended. A nation of slaves became a nation of feared warriors. Look back to the example.
Amen.
We are not to remain slaves to sin. We're not to remain servants of the devil. We're to turn away from sin.
Amen.
Turn towards God, believing He can make us
Amen.
Something out of us. Look what He did to this world. The Word of God, the Spirit of God, took a world that was dark and void and transformed it with the Word of God. The Word is a seed, right? So the Word comes into us as a seed. But sometimes that word gets choked
mm-hmm.
by the cares of this life,
Amen.
By the riches of this life.
Amen.
We need to be good ground
Amen.
So it can bring forth fruit.
Amen.
Lord, help us.
Amen.
Good ground. Our God is a mighty conqueror.
Amen.
You see, Israel became a nation of warriors not because they were stronger. Not because they were better. Certainly not because they were more. No, they became a nation of warriors because their God was God.
Hey, amen.
Think about that. There is one God. The Lord our God is one.
Amen.
And all those other nations, they were worshiping some other God, and their God wasn't God. But Israel's God was God.
Amen.
That's why they became overcomers. That's why you and I can believe that we can be overcomers. Not because we're better, not because we're good, but because our God is God.
Amen.
And He promised if we turn away from sin and turn to Him, He would make us conquerors.
Amen.
More than conquerors through Christ.
Amen.
I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
What a mighty conqueror.
Yes,
He changes a life. He saves a sinner. He heals the sick. He's the Holy Ghost baptizer.
Hallelujah.
He's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
See, he's already made a way back. He's already made a way through Calvary.
Amen.
What we just need to do is turn. Turn back. Let me just read some quotes here. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest.
Amen.
See, if we come to him, he'll give us rest. James 4:7. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you.
Amen.
Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double minded. See, draw nigh to God. We have to have it in our mind. If I take that step towards God, he'll see that and he'll draw nigh to me.
Amen.
See, to me, it's like the prodigal son. He turned back to his father expecting, you know, well, I just want to be a servant. I won't be your son. The father was running to him. When you in your heart say, I don't want this world. I don't want the things of the world. I don't want to be in sin. And you turn to God, he sees it right then.
Hallelujah.
Right then he sees that it's in your heart. He's running to you.
Amen.
Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. What brings joy is when God reveals to us that he sees us. He has a way to show us he's mindful of us.
Amen.
Right? Christians, real born-again Christians, you have these experiences with God, and you can't explain it to anybody else, but you know you turned to God with all your heart, and he showed you that he was mindful of you.
Amen.
He says, I see you. You're going the right way. See? He gives you a little something. It may not be what we want. We want God to come down, sit in our living room, pull up a chair. We want to talk to him face to face. He doesn't do it that way.
Amen.
He could do it that way.
Hallelujah.
But mostly he gives you a little something.
Amen.
You know, like Brother Jamie the other day, you know, he was reading the scripture in the morning and the scripture could come out across the pulpit, you know.
Amen.
What is that? Oh, that's just a coincidence.
Amen.
No, I take that as God showing you, I see you.
Amen.
I see you.
Hallelujah.
I know what you're doing. I can see what you're doing. And when you draw nigh to me, I'm going to draw nigh to you.
Amen.
He sees our hearts. That should encourage us.
Amen.
It only discourages people that our hearts are wrong. Because if your heart condemns you, God's greater than your heart. He knows, right?
Amen, brother. Amen.
And that's when you have no joy. When you know in your heart you're wrong. Everything's hard when you know you're wrong.
Amen.
But we don't have to stay wrong. We can turn.
Amen.
Lord, I acknowledge my sin. Praise God.
Amen.
Don't you love that?
Amen.
I love that Psalm 51. I'm just going to read a couple of verses out of that Psalm. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. See, David was trusting in the loving kindness of God. Sure, God is just. God can bring vengeance. God can bring judgment. But what was David trusting in? What was David? He was trusting in the loving kindness of God. Because listen, brother, sister, if we only get the justice of God, we're all dead. The only way we're going to survive is if we trust in the mercy of God, the loving kindness of God.
Amen.
According to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Why did he even know that was a thing? See?
Amen.
Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression. My sin is ever before me. See, he believed, he saw his sin, but he believed God could wash him.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, God can wash us.
Amen.
He can wash us in the blood. He can wash us with the water of the word. That's why we come to God and we confess to God and we acknowledge God.
Yes.
So we can be washed, so we can be clean.
Amen.
And that restores the joy of our salvation.
Amen.
You know what brings you joy? To know that you're forgiven.
Amen.
Not just hope so, but you know you're forgiven. God has revealed this to you, that he forgave you. Praise God.
Amen.
Psalm 51:7, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins. Blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart. Don't you love this?
Amen.
It speaks from our souls. Oh God, renew a right spirit in me.
Amen.
Listen, if you know you got a wrong spirit manifesting, turn to God.
Amen.
Confess it to God.
Amen.
Repent
Amen.
To God. Lord, I don't want a wrong spirit.
Amen.
I want your Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
I want your sweet spirit. Well, what's a demon spirit going to do? It's going to torture you and everybody around you. It's going to make you miserable and everybody around you.
Amen.
But the Holy Spirit is so sweet and so lovely and so wonderful. It gives us such joy.
Amen.
It gives us peace. And you know what? It blesses people around us.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. And restore unto me the joy of thy salvation.
Amen.
Uphold me with thy free spirit.
Amen.
Restore. God loves to restore.
Amen.
Verse 17 says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. Think about that. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Listen, when we're all cold, we need to pray, Lord, break up the fallow ground.
Amen.
Break up the hardness of my heart.
Amen.
Because we can get hard. We can get cold. We can get unfeeling. Our conscience can get seared with a hot iron. That's what the things of this world does. It makes us cold to the things of God. But David recognized that when he was broken, that meant more to God than offering all the blood of bulls and rams and things. Being broken before God. See, there's only one sacrifice for sin.
Amen.
He paid it all on Calvary.
Yes.
And now what do? Do we offer other sacrifices? No, we look back. We look to that sacrifice. We repent. And that brokenness we feel, that is our sacrifice to God.
Amen.
That is acceptable to God.
Amen.
When's the last time you were broken before God? When's the last time you shed tears in the presence of God? Oh Lord, have mercy on us. Forgive us, oh God. Has the spirit of this age, the lukewarmness of this age, got upon us?
Help us, Lord. Amen.
You know, when we do come back to His Word, it brings great joy. I look back at Ezra and Nehemiah. You know, they've been away from God. They've been captive for so long. And then finally, they dig out the old scrolls. What a beautiful scene in the Bible.
Amen.
And he stands up there and he reads the scrolls. He reads the Word of God. And the people are weeping
Amen.
Before
Amen.
God. You know, let me just read Ezra a couple verses, chapter 6.
Amen.
Ezra 6, 21. And the children of Israel, which were come again out of captivity, and all such as had separated themselves unto them from the filthiness of the heathen of the land to seek the Lord God of Israel, did eat and kept the feast of the unleavened bread 7 days with joy. It was a joy.
Amen.
For the Lord had made them joyful and turned the heart of the king of Assyria unto them to strengthen their hands in the work of the house of the Lord the God of Israel. See, when they turned back and they fed on the Word of God, they brought joy to them. Seeking God brings you joy.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
Seeking the things of the world takes all the joy out of you.
Amen.
You're pleasure seeking then.
Yes, Father.
And pleasures are only a temporary, very short-lived happiness. It's not real joy. Praise the Lord. What brings joy? You know, when the 70 turned again with joy, saying, even devils were subject to us through your name. When we see the Word of God manifested through us, that brings joy.
Amen.
They said, the devils were even subject to us through your name. But what did he say? Don't rejoice because devils, rejoice because your name's in the book.
Amen. Amen.
Because your name's in the book.
Amen.
You know, even correction from God brings joy.
Amen.
How many knows that's true?
Amen.
Why? Do you ever think about it? Why does that bring us joy?
Amen.
It shows us He cares about us.
Amen.
He cares enough to correct us. When, you know, like I said, you know, you have little kids playing in the yard. I remember my kids playing in the yard. If they're bad, I correct my kids. I don't correct somebody else's kids, right? We correct our children. God corrects His children.
Amen.
Correction is a sign that you're His.
Amen.
And it brings us joy. Thy rod and thy staff comforts me. Because if I get out of line, He gives me a good whack to get me back in line. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6. Hebrews 12, verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. Do you realize that? He doesn't chasten you because He hates you. He chastens you because He loves you.
Amen.
And scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. See, think about that. If you endure chastening, He dealeth with you as you're one of His. See? What does that mean, endure chastening? Well, you don't go into a pity party and say, oh, God's mad at me. You say, God, You are right. Lord, I need You. Lord, help me. Lord, forgive me. Then He deal with you. He can instruct you. He can instruct someone that can endure chastening. That's what we need. But if ye be without if ye endure chastening, God deal with you as His sons. For what son is he of whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure, but He for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemed to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. See, so when you listen to Brother Branham just say, and he has a scathing message, and you just feel like, wow, he just really chasing me down. He just tore the hide off me.
Amen.
Right? See, at the time it doesn't feel good, but what happens? If you can receive that chastening as from God, it yieldeth a peaceable fruit.
Amen.
It leads you in the paths of righteousness. It leads you in the paths of holiness.
Amen.
Leads us back to God. Praise God.
Amen.
How wonderful
Amen.
Is that?
Amen. Hallelujah.
Verse 12, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Bitterness. Many. Back in the Bible days, many were defiled by what? Bitterness.
Amen.
Now, do you think that there's going to be less people in this day defiled by bitterness than there was in that day? If anything, it's more. Many are defiled by bitterness. Why? Because they did not forgive. They didn't choose forgiveness to others. Holding a grudge hurts you.
Amen.
Doesn't hurt other people.
Amen.
Choose forgiveness. Choose mercy. Turn to God. Say, Lord, I forgive them. Lord, You saw that hurt me, but I forgive them. I choose You, Lord.
Amen.
See? Free, set yourself free from bitterness.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
When we pray and God answers prayer, that brings joy.
Amen.
See? Much prayer, much blessing. Little prayer, little blessing. No prayer, no blessing. See, you can't experience the joy of an answered prayer when you never pray believing God's going to answer your prayer.
Amen.
That's an incredible joy to see God answer your prayer.
Amen.
Because you know now you have a relationship with God. He hears you. He answers. George Mueller was full of joy because he prayed all the time and God answered his prayers.
Amen.
Sure, he had all kinds of wants and needs, but look at the rest he was at. It's like, I'm in his hands.
Amen.
He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. What am I worried about?
Amen.
Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Amen.
When we seek God and we find him, that brings joy.
Amen.
When we hear the voice of God,
amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Let me read Jeremiah. This is the final scripture. I know I read a lot of scriptures today, but the word of God feeds our souls.
Amen.
Jeremiah 29, verse 10. For thus saith the Lord. Don't you love that?
Amen.
Something about that that's wonderful. Thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my word, my good word towards you, in causing you to return to this place. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
They're going to be captive 70 years, and then God's going to cause them
Amen.
To return. See? Praise God. You know, one of the ways he caused them to return, Daniel was looking back, reading what Jeremiah said. He said, hey, it's been 7 years. It's time.
Amen. Amen.
Read the word of God. God will cause you to return by looking at what he said.
Amen.
Causing you to return. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you.
Amen.
And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart.
Amen.
And brothers and sisters, I can say, without a shadow of a doubt, I have proven this over and over in my own life, and I know many Christians sitting here have. When you seek God with all your heart, you're going to find him.
Amen.
Just put him first.
Amen.
Make him truly God.
Amen.
That's good, brother. Amen.
When you search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. And Brother Bram said, Pentecost. Lord, bring us back to Pentecost. Bring us back to the book of Acts. Bring us back to a supernatural walk. See, in a way, the devil's got this age captive, but the captive shall be set free. Amen. I started writing down a few things that bring joy. You know, making peace with God brings you joy.
Amen.
You ever think what brings you real joy? It's none of the things of this world. Peace with God. The love of God brings
Amen.
Me joy.
Amen.
To feel the love of God, to experience God's love, to know that he loves us.
Amen.
Faith without doubt brings joy.
Amen.
Faith without doubt. Think of that. Faith without doubt, that is the presence of God.
Amen.
Experiences with God bring
Amen.
Joy.
Amen.
See, I can't give you my experiences with God. I wish I could. I wish we could all share our experience with this is such an individual walk.
Amen.
Sure, we can go to a service and have a wonderful service together, but really, the real joy comes from individual experiences with God.
Amen.
Face-to-face experiences.
Amen.
Where you experience God and you hear his voice.
Amen.
And he blesses you individually.
Amen.
You can't I wouldn't trade it for nothing. All the different experiences I've had. No, I wouldn't trade the world for that. Pray, you could, anybody that's had an experience of God, you could put them on a lie detector and say, hey, have you met God? And you say, yes, I have met God. He touched me. Now I know.
Amen.
He touched me.
Hallelujah.
Right? Amen. Answered prayer. Correction from God. Grace. Mercy. Forgiveness. Knowing that you're forgiven.
Amen, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
What a joy that brings. Lord, restore the joy. Seeing a sinner saved. That brings joy.
Amen.
When God shows he's mindful of us, talk about the different ways he hearing God's voice, hearing the word of God. getting a true revelation from God. That brings joy. When you can see clearly, when you realize the shackles come down. Sharing the good news of Christ with someone.
Amen.
That brings joy. When you're on the front lines, I call that the front lines. When you're sharing the gospel with people that are blind, see, that brings joy.
Amen.
Sharing the truth in God's word.
Amen.
Sharing Christ. Sharing Christ brings joy.
Amen.
See, to those that don't have Him.
Amen.
And the last thing I have here that brings joy is unselfish living.
Hallelujah.
When you don't live for yourself anymore,
right.
When you're living for others,
amen.
That it's totally contrary to what this world's chasing.
Amen. Amen.
They're all chasing selfishness. They're chasing something that gives them pleasure. They're chasing things with pride and arrogance and lust. None of that gives the joy of being selfless.
Amen. It's good, brother.
Of
Amen.
Doing for somebody else when you don't have to.
Amen.
Let's all stand.
Amen.
Amen. Oh Lord, restore to me the joy.
Yes, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah.
Of Thy salvation.
Sermon. Amen. Praise,
praise you, Lord Amen. Jesus. Let's bow our heads to Him. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, how we need You today.
Yes.
Lord, how we need Your presence, Lord. We need Your Spirit. Your Spirit is lovely. Your Spirit is wonderful, Lord. Lord, we can read Your Word mechanically.
Yes. Yes, Lord.
But we need Your Word anointed with Your Spirit.
Amen. Hallelujah.
We need You looking over our shoulders, anointing us, teaching us Your Word so that we can understand the true meaning of Your Word.
Hallelujah.
Oh God, fill us with Your Spirit. Save us, God, from ourselves.
Hallelujah.
Save us from the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Save us, O God. Lord, we want to worship You, Lord, in spirit and in truth, Lord. How we need You, Father. Lord, David was Your servant, Lord. He did things that were wrong, but Lord, You had mercy on him. Have mercy on us, O God.
Amen.
Forgive us of our sins.
Yes.
Wash us in the blood of Calvary.
Yes.
Fill us. Baptize us with the Holy Ghost and fire.
Yes.
Grant it, O God. May we truly, finally live the life we were born to live.
Yes, Lord.
May we be what You want us to be.
Yes, Lord.
Grant it, Lord. There's a longing in us for You. Help us, O God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Longing for Jesus. Do you have a longing in your heart for Him?
Amen.
Amen. Longing. Longing for Jesus. Amen. Longing. It's kind of high. Let's try a little lower, Jeremy. Oh, are you longing for Him? Longing for Jesus. I have a longing in my to be near Him, just to be near Him, to feel His presence. I have a longing in my heart for Him. Let's sing that again. Longing.
Longing for Jesus.
I have a longing. just to be near Him, just to be near Him, to feel His presence. I have a longing in my heart for Him. Praise your Lord Jesus. Longing for Jesus, help us, O God. Have thine own way, Lord. Is that your desire? Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. Let's sing that. Praise you, Lord. Have thine own way. He's sad.